Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. I'm afraid the news this evening not good at all. India appears to be on the brink of a third wave of COVID. It's something we've spoken about so often for so many months, but now the numbers indicate that this may be upon us, largely because of Omicron, the new variant. Why? Well, in Mumbai, daily cases have jumped by 70% in one day to 2,510 new cases. The positivity is above 4%, but there are still few hospitalizations. That's the silver lining. Now, we're seeing the highest rise in active cases in India since the end of September, the highest rise in weekly COVID cases in 4 months. Where are we headed? That's a big debate tonight. But let's put this a little bit more in perspective for you. Take a look at what's happening in our big cities. Now, let's have this up full screen if we can. As you can see, this is the situation in the four metros. Let's have this up. The third wave in Mumbai, focusing on Mumbai firstly, 2,510 cases today. Weekly cases are up by a whopping 246%. So in the previous 7 days, look at where we were and compare that with where we were between the 10th and the 16th of December. It went up by 52% and then it's jumped 246%. To 2,510 cases today. Let's move to the next city, which is Delhi. And as you can see, let's start on the 10th to the 16th of December, much lower, right? About 300 odd cases, a 98% jump. And then in the previous 7 days, and then in the last 7 days, a 289% jump. That's Delhi's weekly cases are up almost four times. Chennai, the weekly rise in cases, in the first 15 days of December, it went up 6% initially, and then it went up much more rapidly to 43%. A rise of 43% between the 22nd of December to the 23rd to the 29th of December. Bengaluru, again, a 43% rise in the latest period that we are looking at. So, a small rise initially followed by a massive rise. That's the situation. But let's take a look first at what the overall situation is in the national capital in Delhi.
Officials fear that the third wave in Mumbai may have begun, with cases today shooting up about 80% compared to just one day ago. The positivity rate is about 4%. The silver lining, hospitalizations are few. The government says there's no need to panic.
मागच्या आठवड्यात आपण बघितलं असेल 150 केसेस होत्या आणि आज आपण 2,500 केसेसच्या आसपास पोहोचलेलो आहोत. ही तिसरी लाटची सुरुवात असू शकते, पण मुख्य गोष्ट हीच आहे, तसं मी सांगितलं की पॅनिक कुठे होण्याची गरज नाही, कुठेही घाबरण्याची गरज नाही. पण जी आपण काळजी घेत आलेलो आहोत, प्रत्येक नागरिक जे काळजी घेत आहेत, मास्क लावत आहेत, वॅक्सिनेशन झालेलं आहे, त्यांनी खूप महत्वाचं की ती काळजी घेणं.
The police and the BNC will keep a strict vigil to ensure restrictions are enforced and violators will face penalties. Establishments that do not follow guidelines will be sealed for months. The railways have also started a drive to enforce masks at Mumbai's most crowded railway stations. But there's no lockdown being considered yet given the economic cost.
Aaj lockdown ki zarurat nahi hai, jab tab zarur dekha jayega, lekin aaj zarurat itni hai ki humne hamara mindset covid appropriate behavior ka bilkul strictly rakhna chahiye aur uska amal seriously karna chahiye.
The COVID task force in the state will, however, meet the chief minister soon to discuss more restrictions. The immediate concern, though, are children. As a school in Ahmednagar reported 79 positive cases among students. Three teachers have also tested positive.
Unko rural hospital Parner mein unko isolation ward mein rakha hai. Jo baki ke bache hue student jo hai, wahi hostel mein unko hostel ke jo bhi halls hai, wahan pe unko quarantine kiya hai.
In the next 48 hours, Mumbai civic body, the BMC, will be connecting with all educational institutions in the city to plan and organize vaccination drive for all those from 15 to 18 years of age. Maharashtra's COVID task force member Dr. Shashank Joshi says that he is certain that this spike in cases is driven by the Omicron variant.
A staggering increase in new COVID cases from 1,377 yesterday to 2,510 today. And while hospitalizations are low, authorities aren't taking any chances, which is why they are preparing for the worst while hoping for the best. In Mumbai with camera person Praveen G. Rohit, Saurabh Gupta, NDTV.
Well, some breaking news coming in on the Mumbai situation that you saw over here. Maharashtra in fact recording 3,900 COVID cases and 20 deaths in the last 24 hours. So not Mumbai, Maharashtra, this is breaking news now coming in, of 3,900 COVID cases and 20 deaths being reported in the last 24 hours. But the story you just saw was of Mumbai. What's the situation in the national capital? Take a look.
Crowds waiting for metros and buses. Ironically, a fallout of the tighter new curbs against crowds on public transport. Weekly COVID cases have almost tripled to almost 1,800. But people here say the emergency measures to contain the spread of infection defy logic.
Look, where is social distancing? The common citizen is touching each other. So that thing is not happening here.
तो खतरा लगता है
कि बिल्कुल डेफिनेटली खतरा लगता है
हाउ विल यू मैनेज इट क्या कीजिए क्यू में तो लगना ही पड़ेगा
फ्रीक्वेंसी बढ़ा दीजिए मेट्रो की
हां मेट्रो की फ्रीक्वेंसी बढ़ाओ देयर आफ्टर हल्की फुल्की भीड़ हुई है बट ओके डिस्टेंस वाज देयर
बट बाहर नहीं है
बाहर है आई मीन यू सी द क्यू इज लाइक हाउ व्हाट इज द डिस्टेंस वन आर्म लेंथ तक हम रख पा रहे हैं
दैट्स यू बट
अदर्स शुड आल्सो मेंटेन They should try to maintain.
अंदर भी नहीं हो पाता है आप अगर मेट्रो में देखो तो आपको लगता है मेट्रो में कभी हो पाता है कभी नहीं हो पाएगा क्योंकि इतने लोग ट्रैवल करते हैं चीप मोड ऑफ ट्रैवलिंग है ये लोग नहीं कर पाएंगे आप किसको रोक सकते हैं यहाँ पे हर किसी को तो नहीं रोक सकते ना बाहर चलो ये बाहर आप लगा सकते हो कि आप लोगों का स्कैन करोगे सैनिटाइजर दोगे बट अभी तक हमें ये नहीं पता कि ये सिम्टोमेटिक असिम्टोमेटिक की प्रॉब्लम क्या है खास करके ओमिक्रॉन को लेकर
ऑफिशियल्स आर कंसर्न एट द कोविड ट्रेंड्स इन द नेशनल कैपिटल फॉर इंस्टेंस The positivity rate is at almost 1%, up about 5 times in just 1 week. And the doubling rate of active cases is less than 5 days. The government says the main reason behind rapid rise in COVID cases is the arrival of international passengers.
Jo kal 496 positive cases aaye, positivity lagbhag 1% ke aaspas chal rahi hai. और लगातार पिछले कुछ दिनों से जब से ओमिक्रॉन स्टार्ट हुआ है विदेशों से फ्लाइट आनी स्टार्ट हुई हैं केसेस काफ़ी तेजी से बढ़ रहे हैं अभी तक जितने भी केस आ रहे हैं ज़्यादातर ऐसे हैं कि जो बाहर से लोग आए हैं वो थोड़े दिनों बाद पॉजिटिव हो रहे हैं तो उनके कॉन्टैक्ट के लोग या उनके घर के लोग ज़्यादा हो रहे हैं अभी तक देखो जितना एक्सपीरियंस है जो लोग ठीक होकर अस्पताल से घर गए हैं ओमिक्रॉन के अभी तक एक भी पेशेंट को ऑक्सीजन लगानी नहीं पड़ी है जो ओमिक्रॉन से पॉजिटिव रहे हैं
More curbs aren't ruled out, especially with such crowds.
If this corona spreads, then it's very difficult to control at the last moment. But if you prevent it from spreading in the community, so further transmission can only be halted by timely decisions. And if you have a lot of crowds, we have seen that people are gathering in the markets. So this Omicron particularly spreads very fast, 3 to 4 times. Faster than the Delta.
While the government has started implementing restrictions to check the rising COVID-19 cases, it also has to ensure adequate arrangements on the ground to ensure there is no fallout and COVID cases do not rise because of these restrictions. The camera person Sushil Rathi and Akshay Dungre for NDTV.
All right, so where exactly is India headed now? Joining us, Professor Manindra Agarwal, Professor of the Department of Computer Science and Engineering at IIT Kanpur, whose modeling of in the past has been staggering in its accuracy. Dr. Om Srivastav, member of the Maharashtra COVID Task Force, Dr. V. Ravi, Nodal Officer for Genome Sequencing in the Government of Karnataka, and Dr. S. K. Sareen, who is a member of the Supreme Court Mandated National Task Force on COVID. Thank you all very much for being with us. Professor Agarwal, based on what we are seeing in the four cities, the four metros thus far, where are we headed?
I think it's very clear that we are at the cusp of the start of the third wave.
Graphics if we can. Just one second, Professor Agarwal, if we can have these graphics on a box, or let's keep changing the graphics as Professor Agarwal speaks. Go ahead, Professor Agarwal. Yeah.
So we are at the beginning of the third wave, and this is almost inevitable because, as we have seen in many other countries, they have tried multiple ways, stopping international traffic, not stopping international traffic. But it hasn't helped, and Omicron literally is there everywhere now. So we were bound to get it. The key thing is that we need to understand where it will lead us to, and are we prepared for it?
No, and have you been able to model anything thus far? You know, I mean, if you're seeing a 243% rise in say Mumbai, or a 43% rise in Bengaluru, 246% rise, right, in the last 7 days in Bombay, in Mumbai, the greater Mumbai area, where are we headed? I mean,
this is also totally. This is also totally expected, because anyway, in the beginning, it shows an exponential growth. And
yes.
That's what we're seeing.
Yes.
What we do not know as of today is how exactly will it progress in India, because the data is not available. We have to wait maybe for another couple of weeks to really capture the trajectory within India.
Yeah.
However, what we can do, and that's what we have done, is to learn from other countries. In particular, we have been closely monitoring South Africa, UK and Denmark. These are the three countries where Omicron has spread quite significantly.
Yes.
And we have noticed some very interesting difference in South Africa versus UK or Denmark. In South Africa, according to our estimates, about, I would say, 20%, slightly less than 20% of people have lost immunity against Omicron.
Right.
It is well known that Omicron bypasses immunity, both
right.
vaccine and natural immunity. And here I'm talking only about natural immunity.
And in the
so
UK?
About 20%. In UK, more than 40% seem to have lost immunity.
Have lost immunity. And in Denmark?
Yeah. In Denmark, roughly similar, so about 40-odd%.
Before I go across to my other guests, Professor Agarwal, is that related to the age profile? South Africa has a younger age profile, and therefore, could it be argued that people who are falling ill to Omicron are fewer in number in terms of severity, also in number of cases, because they're younger, they're more resilient?
Is that the question to me?
Yeah, just do you have a view on that?
Yeah, there are two possibilities. One is, as you said, younger age profile. Another and is also the difference between levels of natural immunity. South Africa has roughly 80% of population naturally immune before arrival of Omicron.
Okay, Professor Agarwal, I'm just going to go across to my other panelists as well. Dr. Sarin, you just a few weeks back, India was harping on our sero surveys indicating that there was an element of herd immunity also in our country, added to that rising vaccination numbers, not rising in the numbers that we really want, but still the numbers have been going up. So if you add one and one together, there is an element of protection which exists in India. Has Omicron ruled that logic as being wrong? As far as this situation now is concerned?
It's a very important question, and I would clarify. We got herd immunity, the infection-related immunity against the Wuhan virus. So when you get immunity...
Not Delta, sir?
Virus,
not Delta?
When we get the immunity from one virus, it is actually very specific, although the T cells, the cells which make the antibodies, the B cells, they are actually able to make antibodies against a wide plethora of antigens. But it's not always true.
Hmm.
So what we have learned with Omicron is that those who got the original virus and even got vaccinated, even these people have got the Omicron infection. So this virus can break through your immunity and your T cells also to a large extent. Therefore, we need to be extra careful. Even those who got a booster. And we have to understand in this, the original philosophy, the original virus came, then somebody got Delta, it was true. In fact, at ILBS, we found 11% of those who had got two shots had got Delta.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to know that those who have got two shots, even 50%, 70% can get the Omicron virus. So this virus is more transmissible, although the transmission does not always, fortunately, as of now, result into a higher rate of going to hospitals or higher rate of going to ICUs. So transmission is fast. It breaks your immunity and it can evade your vaccine-related antibody formation.
Okay. Dr. Srivastav, you know, I mean, it is now fairly known since we've had this for more than a month that transmissibility much, much higher. but severity perhaps not as much as Delta. But given the numbers of people who are falling sick and who may well fall ill in our country, whatever hospital infrastructure we have can never be enough to cater to, say, a city as large as Mumbai, one of the largest cities on earth. So therefore, is home isolation the way forward? Dr. Om Srivastav, would you like to take that?
Yes, so thank you for having me on your show. I think you're making a very important point. Is home isolation the way forward? I would think so, because that would take a lot of pressure off the public health system or the private health system. Unfortunately, when we say home isolation, we'll have to first identify the total number of people who will have single rooms where they can stay for the period.
Which in Mumbai becomes so difficult. In certainly parts of Mumbai, it's impossible because people share, rooms. That's just the way it is.
Yes. Unfortunately, you'll need to find a balance. You cannot say that, yes, because we don't have single rooms, we are not going to have this arrangement or the other. My own feeling, and this is something that I have made in my suggestions and recommendations repeatedly, is that hospitals ought to be only for those people who need to be treated in hospitals. Hmm. That's a very specific category. And only those people who cannot be treated in, say, a dome center or a home quarantine, they are the ones who need to be going to hospital. Because if you feel that there is a systemic complication that's about to happen, somebody's heart is about to be involved or already is involved, or they are going to require a ventilator, they are the people who are best deserving to be treated in hospital. The rest of the people who are positive and mildly symptomatic can best be treated in the comforts of a dome facility in a place like Mumbai, where they are doing a fantastic job. We've been seeing it for more than a year's time now, and that they should be encouraged. The total amount of movement of patients who are positive but don't need to be in hospital should be treated there, or should be treated in the comforts of their own home. But that is something we will know only when the numbers become far more than what they are right now. But I think, yes, I think the point that you're making is very, very important, very valid, and probably that's the only way that's going to ease the burden on the public health system or the private health system.
Dr. Ravi, as a nodal officer for genome sequencing, Government of Karnataka, what exactly are you seeing as far as Omicron cases are concerned in your gene sequencing as a percentage of the overall cases which are coming to you for sequencing?
Thanks, Vishnu, for having me on the show. The percentage of Omicron among the total sample sequence is steadily rising. That's because at this point of time, at least in Bangalore and Karnataka samples, it's largely from international travelers. We have had a few clusters in some districts in Karnataka, like Mangalore and Hassan, where we have had Omicron positive cases without history of international travel.
Hmm.
And half of them have had contact with people who have traveled, and the others are no history of contact as well. I would agree with all the other panelists that the time has come for everybody to take on COVID-appropriate behavior. I've always been saying this, that there is more to COVID than the virus. We can't prevent the virus from mutating, but what we need to do is adopt COVID-appropriate behavior. More importantly, restrict indoor gatherings, large congregations, be it religious or political, and also make sure that we are ready in case we land up with large number of cases.
Right.
I think for large cities, COVID care centers are probably to be reactivated, because everybody's home is not suitable for isolation.
Dr. Sareen, nobody likes wearing a mask, but until such time as we have boosters, and even once we do have boosters, how important is it for people to once again start wearing masks, not in the fashion that we do in India, which is underneath the nose, or the other fashion is underneath the chin, but actually properly? You know, it's bizarre. What goes around comes around. Dr. Sareen, if I play out an interview I did with you or one of the other gentlemen on this program from 1 year back, right now, it would be the same message. Wear a mask. But how is that the most basic thing that we need to do now, right now?
Vishnu, I just want to add two more brief points. Before 13 December, Delhi had 2% Omicron. Up to 21st December, 34%. Mm. And 22nd to 26th December, we have almost 53% of Omicron. And no wonder the rise would probably now, if you take the total calculated number positive, let's say 923 and half of them, even then, you will have so many Omicron. So that just gives you a number that this is now dominantly Omicron and not Delta. The second part, I want to just add that there are two large trials from Spain as well as from UK. And these trials have shown that mix and match policy means the first two dosages of the vaccine that we have are the priming. And then you have the boost dose. To combine these two, the mix and match strategy might work better. The third point, which you said, is very important. How to wear a mask? You have to cover. And I saw in your video that many people are actually wearing double masks. They have become intelligent. You have to cover the nose and the chin. And I will leave with three W's. One, wear a mask, watch from a distance, and wear a vaccine certificate. If you combine these three W's, actually we can prevent not only transmission, but also we can get infectivity and disease to a much lower extent. So I think the time has come to combine all those three W's together in our life. And there is an anticipation that January and February might become worse for us. We are still not seeing too many deaths. But of the total proportion of 100, even 5%, 2% are sick enough, we will be flooded with these. So I think all cautions must be taken. And last point is, where are our doctors? I think we need our resident doctors, whatever the court or the ministries do. We need resident doctors to come fast back on our track so that they can man, they can help us to possible, you know, hospitalization of patients.
Dr. Srivastava, final question to you. The booster dose rollouts, we don't have a policy on booster rollouts as yet. It's only for senior citizens with comorbidities, etc., and children are getting their first shot soon. Given what we are seeing with Omicron, the rise in the percentage of COVID cases, should we not start rolling out boosters on an emergency basis for everyone? Right. If we have the numbers which are available now of the various vaccines which are there, we are exporting, for example, Covovax. Corbevax has already received pre-orders from the government. Should these not start being rolled out immediately to everyone?
Well, we couldn't start it, you know, a day earlier than what we are going to do. You know, we are still talking about the first week of January at the very earliest. To my mind, that's, you know, 5 or 6 days later. Yes, we should be starting it as possible as of today. Because do remember, once you've given the vaccine, it's still going to take about 2 to 3 weeks time, at the very minimum 2 weeks time, for a person to start making the antibodies. So that's the 2 weeks time of the number of cases of Omicron that this person is going to be exposed to in whatever circumstance. We all know that Omicron is hugely transmissible, highly infective, even though in this avatar, it is a mild disease right now. Whether it's going to stay like this or not, we don't know. But the vaccine is going to be the one major protective factor that patients will need to be offered and given, especially the ones who are the most vulnerable. They would have to be the persons who would be offered the vaccine first. That includes the elderly, that includes children, that also includes healthcare workers. And frontline workers of all varieties who have been exposed and who have not just been infected, but unfortunately succumbed in the second wave. You know, we hopefully will have learned our lessons from that experience, and
that's the point, you know, doctor, where I'd like to end this program. Have we learned our lessons? Have we learned our lessons? Did we not suffer enough during Delta? Did we roll out enough vaccines before Delta? Could we not have rolled out children's vaccines earlier, particularly since we decided that we wanted them? Could we not have rolled out boosters earlier, particularly since we had them? Why is it now that there's a knee-jerk that's taking place? And by the time people do get boosted, it's going to be Russian roulette. Will you manage to avoid Omicron until such time as you get enough antibodies? That's a sad reality. But hopefully, in the next few days, this too will be sorted out. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Before I end, a couple of questions which people have, viewers have written in. Deepali Sinanku has message says, most of the Omicron cases are coming from international passengers. Why are international flights not stopped at all? Well, most international flights have been stopped. The flights which are operating now are part of a bubble series of flights. You cannot end all flights altogether, given India's huge links with a couple of important countries in the world. Avilash also writes in, is India actually heading for a third wave of COVID-19? Some would suggest we are. Bani says the third wave is much nearer to us than we can imagine. And finally, we've got Ipshit Arora, who says medical oxygen capacity ramped up, oxygen beds increased by the government. What else do we need to prove the fact that the third wave is coming on us? That's true, though. I mean, those are examples of what might lie ahead. Everybody stay safe, because while Omicron is less harmful potentially, and that's something we don't know for sure, it is certainly more transmissible, and that is something we do know absolutely for sure.